We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where we start with, Yee?
Well, let's start with opening, not opening. Miami-Dade says they are not planning to reopen the beaches anytime soon. So the mayor there has not made an announcement on how and when they'll reopen. But he did say during a virtual town hall, opening beaches is not in the works at all. So that's not happening anytime soon.
You said that's when?
Now, that's Miami-Dade. So Miami Beach, all of that is not going to be opening.
I'm confused. I thought the other day they said all Florida beaches were open. That wasn't true?
That was in Jacksonville.
Oh, just Jacksonville. Okay.
They recommend that beaches in Miami-Dade not reopen at this time. Okay?
You know, different places in Florida look at different places in Florida with the same disgust that a lot of other people do. So Miami kind of looks down on Jacksonville. Miami looks at Jacksonville and say, oh, the ghetto. You know? So I get it.
Now, certain businesses in Georgia can reopen at the end of the week, according to the governor, Brian Kemp. Here he is.
Well, I can tell you, I don't give a damn about politics right now. These are tough decisions, but we also got to think about the effects on our economy and on these individuals from a mental health perspective, from a physical health perspective, and literally for people being able to put food on their tables. And I believe that this measured approach has got us to the time to trust our people, to keep going after and beating this virus, but do it in a way that is responsible.
It's very hard to trust Brian Kemp.
Restaurants can open on April 27th. They think that some businesses can reopen as early as Friday, like gyms, fitness centers, bowling alleys, body art studios, barbers, hair and nail salons, estheticians. Now, he did also say that this will likely increase cases of coronavirus, but he said that they're better prepared than they were over a month ago. They have the hospital bed capacity and the community knowledge and a lot of things in place.
It's too soon, man.
Very important to note, too, that Governor Brian Kemp didn't even know that asymptomatic patients could spread the disease a couple weeks ago. So I don't know how much he knows about the virus. Now, I do say this. I hope Georgia, I hope they reopen, and I pray nothing goes wrong. I pray that they can handle it, because if they do and things go right, that would be a test for a lot of the rest of the country. So.
Yeah, I think it's too soon, bro. I think it's too soon. It's very dangerous to be playing with people and not honestly know and not have a vaccine. That thing has spread like wildfire like it did before, and we'd be back in the same situation. It's too soon.
Well, the governor in South Carolina is allowing some businesses to reopen, so that's going to be starting today. Retail departments, sporting goods stores, flea markets will be allowed to open at 20% capacity. Businesses in Tennessee are allowed to reopen on May 1st, according to the governor there. In Illinois, the governor is considering reopening parts of the state on a regional basis. And the Jacksonville mayor, as far as reopening the beaches, has said the community is responding well to guidelines. And therefore, even though that mayor, Lenny Curry, did draw criticism over the weekend for reopening the beaches too soon, he said he has been in constant contact with law enforcement and mayors who have been strong in the face of national, international news running sensational headlines without understanding our city.
So question, are all those other states, are they talking like Governor Kemp, meaning that are they saying things like the hospitals can handle it? Are they have the necessary things in place to handle cases rising? Do they feel that way?
They haven't said it in that way. They haven't said we expect more cases. I think the goal is to not have more cases, I would say, but.
But it's impossible, though. Like,
I wouldn't say you would want to increase cases. You want to keep them down, I would assume.
It's impossible, though. That's what Brian Kemp said. Brian Kemp said, you know, he expects an increase in cases, but he said they have the capacity to handle it. So that's what I'm saying. Do the other states feel that way, too? Because if you're putting people out there with such a contagious disease, it's going to be an increase in cases.
Absolutely. There's no cure. There's no vaccine. So you're playing with people's lives, saying, no, we'll be able to handle it. No, some people's bodies can't handle it. You have a lot more deaths. Don't play with people with people's lives.
Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee.
I'd love to hear what you think if you live in one of those places.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Phone lines are wide open. The number again is 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Angel.
Hey, Angel, get it off your chest.
Hey, Angel.
Hey, guys, good morning.
Good morning.
I watched the battle last night.
Uh-huh.
What you thought?
I really enjoyed it. Like, I had a good time. I was catching the vibe. But Uncle Teddy could have left that Foxy Brown song and that Jay-Z song, because on the solo he played the Remember the Time. I was like, dang, Uncle.
I think Remember the Time was going to be his last joint, though. But Foxy Brown is a classic. That's a smash.
Yeah,
Jay-Z,
I would have definitely played that.
I'd have left out the whole, though. But Foxy was a smash.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to get around off Foxy, but he did. I wouldn't have played the Jay-Z record either, though.
Exactly.
I think they might have their own favorites, too.
So who said what? I don't think nobody, I mean, me personally, I don't think nobody won. I think it's a matter of preference, you know.
I think Babyface got it.
I don't see how you can say that. I don't see enough rounds going to either one of them to say that there's a decisive winner. A lot of those songs could have been draws. A lot of those songs could have went either way. I think there was
got
four.
It, man. The last four out of five songs was strictly, it was straight went to Babyface. I think Babyface got it.
The absolutely. Last four out of five?
I think like four out of five songs, yeah.
So you telling me, okay, let's look at these. So last four out of five. One, two, three.
Okay,
four,
five. So.
Yeah, my.
He played Dangerous. We got my. Red Light Special.
Yeah.
I get at the face.
Superwoman.
I get at the face.
Rump Shaker could be a draw, or you could give it to Teddy.
I give it to Teddy, but it could be a draw.
And
I'll
Michael
make
Jackson.
Love to you. I get at the face.
Yes, that's four out of five. The last four out of five with Babyface.
No, Diggity versus the Whitney Houston. That was the last song.
Well, we don't know what the last song is. I think
I
the last
song
for you to remember. We don't know what the last song was, but the last songs that they battled, four out of five went to Babyface. I think Babyface.
Yeah,
what do you think,
what
Mama?
About the other 15?
We can go back and forth. A lot of them were tied, but the last four out of five was, in my opinion, the deciding factor. Because it was pretty close until the last four out of five. And he just smashed
I think it was a draw.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, this is Janelle. How you doing, radio family?
Good morning.
Hello, radio family.
Get it off your chest, Mama.
Everyone is talking about getting back down in the economy, but you know, you choose your own battle. If you want to go out there and expose yourself, it's on you, because I would take the same precautions. You don't have to jump out there into the stores. You can still quarantine yourself. Everyone's like, oh no, he's opening up. I'm in South Carolina. Our governor is opening up stuff today. That is true. And it's a minimum how many people in the store. Are you going to have a designated person at the door to dictate how many people coming in and out? They haven't been doing it, so it's not going to be any difference. So to me, you're just putting people out there. You're putting yourself out there, actually. You can stay in the house. You can continue to quarantine yourself. I'm a police officer. What they're not talking about is all the domestic stuff that's going on. We get more cases of that than we do of this corona. It is ridiculous. We have had so many child abuse, domestic, and stuff going on. I mean, 11 calls in one night. So it's just...
Yeah, I've been hearing that.
...what it is. It is really terrible. And I mean, I've been out here since 2 o'clock this morning, and I'm still going. So everybody needs to choose their own battles and think about what your decision is. Not with them. The mayor can't pick your choices for you. You pick your own. Protect yourself.
That is very true.
That's all I can.
That is a nightmare to be locked in the house...
It is.
...with an abuser.
It is.
All my turn.
I'm sorry, is more abuse going out here? And when I say 11 cases in one night, not even that, is the children. Mm-hmm. These children are crying to get out of the house. The little boy told me just yesterday, can you just please take me to school? Because my daddy don't bother me when I'm at school. How does that feel?
Oh, have mercy.
That's awful.
And it's really sad. And people just give it the corona. It's not just the corona. I mean... Everybody's talking about corona. What about these other people's lives? It's really serious out here. These people got to understand it is really serious. And I give all you blessings to stay inside and protect your own families. Don't be listening to what the mayor say. You got to
protect
your own life.
Absolutely.
I have blessings for all you all. Y'all be safe and take care. Be safe.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your work. That gives you a whole nother perspective on what's going on in some people's households.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Like, my attorney friend in South Carolina was like, yo, that dude's early. He had like 6 cases already, and this was like early in the quarantine.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
You. What's good, Envy?
What's up, Trav? What's going on?
Ain't nothing much. What's going on, Yee?
Hey, Trav.
How you doing, boo?
I'm good, boo. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's going on, Shara?
Hey, sis. I feel like you're about to say something you stupid doing? And young, but go ahead.
How you doing, mama? You good, sis?
Mama.
You talking to you, Charlamagne?
Are you talking to me? Oh, you never called me mama before. That's a new one.
But listen, I'm calling to talk about, so Ashley Yee, you have brought this up like maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I had saw Timbaland and Swift talking about Dr. Dre and Diddy, and I honestly think that a better matchup would be Missy versus Diddy, not only for the music, just personality-wise, just energy-wise, just like being on live together-wise. And I just feel like Dr. Dre going to be like, he's going to need a lot of help. He's not going to be as entertaining as Missy versus Diddy.
I want to see some of our women represent like crazy. Also, Missy Elliott has some crazy back catalog, you know, with her own crew.
Favorite,
and then
you need to see Diddy and Dr. Dre. That's the matchup.
It's Cole and Missy.
FYI, though, why do they got to be entertaining? Why can't they just let the music talk?
Yeah,
why
Dr. Dre and Diddy both will be amazing.
I think it just helps.
Just their history and everything. I think that's the battle.
When you have 500,000 people watching you, it just helps to also have some type of entertainment, just some type of back and forth, you know, going back and forth. And not the type of entertainment like Teddy Riley. Like, this epic fail type of entertainment.
Oh, my God.
Well, Dr. Dre, watch your mouth.
If it's a draw and then somebody gets you way more hype about their song, it might make you lean towards something.
See, I don't like stuff like that.
He's a legend. He's a king. But Missy and Diddy would be a better. But all right, y'all.
Dr. Dre was on, he actually FaceTimed Teddy last night on the line. And he said he's not interested. He said he don't know if he's interested or not. He said he don't think this for him.
I think they should do it, man. I think that'd be great. Get it off your chest, 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, let's talk about this Michael Jordan documentary and the numbers that it did in the first night that it came out, the two parts.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Club.
Yes, Michael Jordan still putting up those big numbers. Now let's talk about The Last Dance, the first two parts of his highly anticipated docuseries on ESPN. Now, it aired on ESPN and ESPN2. On ESPN alone, it broke all kinds of records. It drew 5.7 million with the second episode followed with 5 million, but combined on both networks, it averaged 6.1 million viewers. That's huge numbers. For that, for ESPN.
Absolutely.
Now, the docuseries won't net him any money because he's actually going to be donating all that money to charity. So all of the proceeds that he will receive, which is estimated to be around $3 or $4 million, will be going to charity.
Well, remember those numbers in 20 years because we will pull them up and compare them to LeBron James' documentary when his comes out 20 years from now. That's just the way we are as a people.
All right, now Idris Elba is under the gun from people, and that is for saying that we should quarantine a week every year. Listen to this.
I think that the world should take a week of quarantine every year just to remember this time, remember each other. Other species use it. It's called hibernation, but it does remind you that the world doesn't tick on your time.
Yeah, I didn't understand why everybody was so mad.
No, like, I don't see the problem.
I don't understand, like, you know, the fact that this happened, the fact that we lost so many people, but the fact that it brought a lot of families closer. So, I mean, I didn't see why people were so upset with what he said.
Well, it's not a great experience for everyone. It's great if you're staying in a really nice home, if you're still getting paid, if you're comfortable, but it's a nightmare for some people. So I guess for the people who are going through it, they said nobody wants to be reminded about the coronavirus. It just Elvis needs to take his own advice. And, you know, some people agreed. And I think you would agree if you're comfortable and you're not going through some type of tragedy. But if you are, it's not a great time.
Yeah, but I think I take what he's saying as, you know, isolation is a form of self-care. You know, sometimes you do need to disconnect. Sometimes you do need to just be with your family. You do just need to be away from everybody for a week. I do it all the time. That's what I took from it.
And then I also thought that, you know, the fact that they said it healed the earth. They said it was healing the earth.
Some people were on Twitter saying, get a grip. People can't afford to just stay at home for a week. And some people do have to work and make money. Some people were saying, do you think those poor people who live in tower blocks with sick kids running crazy would want to do this? You fool. So listen, if you're having a struggle right now, it's not fun. And
listen,
yes,
some people
see
the glasses half empty. Some people are just pessimists and they will see a problem in every solution. everything. Like, you can't even argue with people like that.
I think it depends on your situation. Like, we had the police officer call this morning and talk about all the domestic violence calls for those people. Remembering coronavirus time is a nightmare, and they might not want to do something like that. So it just all depends on your situation. All right, now Birdman has offered to pay the rent for New Orleans residents. He said, I would like to offer to pay everybody's rent for the month of May for those who are in need in residence area of Uptown New Orleans, where I was born and raised at. And he said, I would like to support us and accomplish this. And he also shouted out Q93, shout out to our girl Uptown Angela. He wants them to help out. He spoke with Angela as well. And he said, our mayor will help support this cause, Mayor Cantrell. And also, he wants to thank the hospitals on the front lines, risking their life to save lives. I want to thank everybody that works with the Gladys and Johnny Foundation and my company, Cash Money Records. So he's planning
to do that.
That's
a blessing. Mm-hmm. Dropping the clues bombs for Birdman. That's a blessing.
Yeah. Coronavirus isn't a fun time for people who can't afford to pay their rent. So I'm sure, you know, again. Now, Dwayne.
Y'all know that's not what Idris meant, though.
No, he wasn't talking about that.
We got to stop doing that. Like, we know Idris didn't mean it like that.
He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about people.
I know it's not what he meant, but I think that it is also important to be empathetic to people who aren't in a great situation like you are, who aren't comfortable living in a nice home.
I think he was empathetic. I think he was looking from a different angle, from people's mental health and for people staying together as a family.
Absolutely.
And helping his country, as far as they said the pollution rates are down and all that other stuff. That's how I think he was looking at it. I don't think he was looking at it like, hey, if you ain't got no money, stay in your shack. No, I don't think that's what he meant by at all.
Well, he said that he was talking about, like, hibernation, how some animals hibernate.
He's right. So, your therapist tells you that all the time. Your therapist will tell you to disconnect. Your therapist will tell you to just take time to yourself. Your therapist will tell you to get away for a couple of days. Like, they got mental health breaks at job. Yes, 100%.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we got front page news. What are we talking about?
We are going to talk about certain states are going to be reopening and certain counties in those states. Will give you some of the breakdowns on who's planning to reopen soon.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where we starting, Yee?
Well, Donald Trump is temporarily suspending immigration into the United States. He said he will sign an executive order doing that as the nation is battling the health and economic effects of coronavirus. He said it's done in the light of the attack from the invisible enemy, or the coronavirus pandemic, and to protect U.S. jobs. All right. And as we're talking about coronavirus, let's talk about certain places that they are saying can reopen. Now, certain businesses in Georgia can reopen at the end of the week, according to the governor, Brian Kemp. Here's what he said.
Well, I can tell you, I don't give a damn about politics right now. These are tough decisions, but we also got to think about the effects on our economy and on these individuals from a mental health perspective, from a physical health perspective. And literally for people being able to put food on their tables. And I believe that this measured approach has got us to the time to trust our people, to keep going after and beating this virus, but do it in a way that is responsible.
Yeah, that makes me nervous.
He said, I believe we'll be able to stay on top of it. If we have an instance where a community starts to become a hotspot, then you know I'll take further action. But right now, feel like we're in a good spot to move forward.
Yeah, that makes me feel nervous, man.
Yeah, it's just hard to trust Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp didn't even know that asymptomatic patients could spread the disease. So I don't know how much he knows about the virus now.
Yeah, that makes me nervous, man. I don't think they know what they're doing. They're just doing it for the money, which I understand. But there's a lot of people that's going to die. There's going to a lot of people going to be killed by this now, because they're opening up for the money. And a lot of those are elderly.
Now, I agree with you, but just to play white devil's advocate, I'm gonna say, okay, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say they've been studying this for the past few weeks every day. They know more about it than us. You know what I mean? And I think one of the biggest issues that we faced with Corona was the healthcare system simply couldn't handle it. You know, it's just not enough beds. If they say they got it under control, maybe they do.
Bro,
I doubt it.
It's like playing Russian roulette with your body. You don't know how your body's going to react to this. They don't know. Just a couple of days ago, they said we had to wear masks. Like, they're figuring this out every day. And not to play with old elderly people.
You still got to wear masks, though. Like, when they reopen Georgia and stuff like that, it's still going to be social distancing rules in place, and you still got to wear masks and all of that.
Bro, they're talking about restaurants, theaters, private social clubs, restaurants, barbershops. Like, you're not wearing a mask in a private social club. You're not wearing a mask to get a haircut. You're not wearing a mask to certain...
Are you crazy?
A lot of
New
but
ma-
you do
mask
have to follow social distance you do have to follow social distancing guidelines, and you do have to screen employees for illnesses and all of that. So, like in South Carolina, the governor is allowing some businesses to reopen, but they'll be open, for instance, retail stores, sporting goods stores, department stores, flea markets. They open at 5 p.m. They opened yesterday at 5 p.m., and they opened at 20% capacity, or 5 people per 1,000 square feet. So they're just trying to make sure that they do it kind of slowly to get back into business.
And masks about to be the new thing. I'm not talking about them N95 masks. You see all these designer masks they already got out? They already got Versace masks, Gucci masks, Louis masks. These Negroes going to have their mask on.
All right, well, businesses in Tennessee are allowed to reopen on May 1st, according to the governor, Governor Bill Lee there. And so he said, our economic recovery group is working with industry leaders around the clock so that some businesses can open as soon as Monday, April 27th. These businesses will open according to specific guidance that we will provide in accordance with state and national experts in both medicine and business. In Illinois, the governor is considering reopening parts of the state on a regional basis. And Jacksonville, the mayor there has said that it was successful reopening the beaches. According to the mayor there, Lenny Curry, the community is responding well, and he's been in constant contact with law enforcement and mayors who have been strong in the face of national, international news running sensational headlines without understanding our city. So he said the limited beach reopening is the first step in returning back to normal.
I just hope that all of these states' healthcare systems can handle it. I just hope that their hospitals don't get overran, overcrowded. Like, that's the biggest issue. If they say they can handle it, we about to see. Because we don't believe you.
I don't.
All right, Dr. Anthony Fauci is also talking about Major League Baseball. They could play with fans in stands. He reiterated that they would have a shortened season with games played in one or a handful of cities without any fans. But then another version of his plan would limit the number of fans in a stadium, seat them spread out to observe social distancing rules, and make sure that they are wearing masks.
See, is it dangerous or not? Because the way y'all see, 2 weeks ago, everybody had to stay home or we die.
That's what I was saying.
Like, we go to baseball games, the barbershop.
Nobody knows.
Which one is it? Okay, you can't be playing with my emotions like this.
Nobody
right?
knows.
If we're going outside or if we're not going outside. Okay?
What the hell? We halfway. One foot in the house, 1 foot outside. We confused.
So we doing the hokey pokey.
Yes,
didn't we just have
much.
Dr. Fauci on last week, and Dr. Fauci said that if they did bring back sports, it would be with no crowd. Now, 4 days later, it's with a crowd. He was just on Friday. We just had him on. Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying. This thing changes so much. They don't know. Like right now, it's just a money grab. They're trying to get money back into the system, but you're going to wind up killing a lot of people.
All right. Now, another issue people are having is calls to poison control centers. Those calls have skyrocketed, and that's because of cleaning products. People are cleaning everything, and they're having reported exposures because of that. So exposure among children under the age of 5 consistently represented a large percentage of total calls. For instance, a preschool-aged child became dizzy, then hit her head on the floor after she ingested an unknown amount of hand sanitizer. She was taken to the hospital and had a high blood alcohol level, 3 times the legal limit of driving.
Jeez.
It was an intensive care. Yes, a second case involved a woman who soaked her produce by filling her sink with bleach, vinegar, and water after hearing on the news she should clean her groceries before eating them. That combination created toxic gas chlorine, and she could not breathe after that and had to call 911 and get oxygen therapy. So she's fine. She recovered, but there's a lot of calls now to poison control centers.
Yeah.
So basically, we're scaring ourselves to death. Like, we're so in our heads. We have so much anxiety around, you know, catching coronavirus from, you know, things being on surfaces that we're actually killing ourselves behind it.
Yeah, and I understand it. I understand it because we're so scared that we're making out. We have all these things in our house now. We're not putting it back up, and our kids are getting to it. I put some hand sanitizer in my 3-year-old's hand the other day. This was about 3 weeks ago. And the first thing she wanted to do was smell it and touch her face with it. And it almost went in her eye. And I had to grab her hand fast because they don't know. And you have to train them and explain it to them. But I have so many things around the house, wipes, sprays, and all that. You got to be extra, extra careful when you got young kids.
Now, let the record show. My cord came out my headphone. And so when I put it back in, all I heard them say was she wanted to put it in her face and touch it. And I was like, what? That's what I heard.
I was talking about my 3-year-old, sir.
What were you talking about, though?
Forget it. All right, well, that is front page news. Now, phone lines are wide open. Let's talk for a little bit. 800-585-1051. Last night, Babyface, Teddy Riley, over 4 million people were checked in to watch that battle. What did you think? Really? Who won? Let's talk about it.
And I saw a lot of people had to watch on their 400,000, over 400,000. But I saw a lot of people had to watch. Oh, all together, probably.
All together, it said over 4 million. Swiss Beats said over 4 million people checked in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they actually told you had to go on your laptop. A lot of people were having issues trying to log on to watch it. So, you know, that's how many people were on.
Yeah, FYI. I couldn't actually check it out on the phone. It was freezing, so I had to download Google Chrome, and then when you pop it,
to go through a lot, right?
I had to go through a lot last night to watch it. I didn't really get in until I think the end of the third round, beginning of the fourth round, but it was well worth the wait, man, and it was a great battle. But let's talk about it. Who won? 800-585-1051. I think Babyface won. I don't think it was.
I don't see how you can say that.
He the last four out of five Babyface took, and I think a lot of the other ones.
Last three out of five, Babyface.
Four out of five, well, bro.
Three out of five.
And we want you guys to weigh in also and see who you think won the battle.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about it. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club. Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking the Babyface Teddy Riley battle last night. They said there was over 4 million people that checked this battle out. It was very hard to get it in at first. I had to download Google Chrome, then from Google Chrome, log on to my Instagram, and then find it. But once I did that on Google Chrome, it was clear. No problems. I didn't have problems. I mean, it froze every once in a while, but it was absolutely positively way, 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 way better.
That's a game changer for Instagram Live, by the way. If you can watch it on your computer, because then you can mirror it to your TV then, right?
Correct.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys think of the battle?
I thought it was a great matchup between the two of them. First of all, my friends, we have a high school group chat, and they kept on. I had probably like 100 back and forth text messages while everybody was watching the battle at home. So it was really fun for us to have those discussions, but it was a tough one. It was really, really close, according to my scorecard. It wasn't a shutout at all.
Nah, nobody said it was a shutout, but who did you give it to? You had to give it to one person. Who are you giving it to?
You know what? I'm trying to add mine up right now while I'm sitting here because I never added it up. I just did it round by round. Some of them were really hard for me, though, to decide.
Yeah, I thought it was a battle of two heavyweights, two gods. I thought it was, two brothers who got all in Infinity Stones. And if I'm being totally objective, because, you know, I'm an Uptown Records Teddy Riley type of guy. If I'm being totally objective, I don't think anybody won. I think it was too close to call. And I think with both those brothers, it's a matter of preference. Now, there are four rounds I clearly give Babyface. That was round 11, Jay-Z, City of Mine versus Bobby Brown, Rock With You. Not even close. That's Bobby Brown. Round 15, Deep versus Johnny Gill, My. Not even close. That's My. Round 16, Red Light Special. I forgot what song, homie.
He played Janet Jackson, I Get Lonely. Babyface got that one.
Yeah, I give that the Red Light Special.
Michael Jackson, round 19, Jam. Superwoman got that.
No. Round 19, I Say I'll Make Love to You. Boys to Men over Michael Jackson, Dangerous. Can't just give Jam over Superwoman like that. People love Jam, especially because they think of the movie Space Jam. Nah, like that was a lot of people's record.
I'm Not Your Superwoman. I didn't really like Jam, but Not Your Superwoman.
Jam ain't my favorite record either, but I'm just talking about impact of record. Jam was a big, but that's Teddy's Jam.
Your different Superwoman. No, Superwoman is way, in my opinion.
By the way,
again, like you said, it's opinion. You know what I mean? So you can't tell anybody, no, that's wrong. It really is just your opinion. Like, what song meant more to you? What song do you think sounds better to you?
Bro, because I could easily give the first 10 rounds to Teddy Riley. If I'm leaning into what my preference is.
You can't do that.
But why not? SWV right here versus Tony Braxton, Love It About You Home.
Can we talk? I'm ready.
Okay.
To occasions.
Do you know what he was playing against those records? He played Keith Sweat, Make It Last Forever. Johnny Kemp Just Got Paid. Foxy Brown, Get Me Home. Guy, Peace of My Love. That's what I said. I think all of these, these rounds are too close to call. I give it a split decision. I don't see a clear cut winner in this.
I think
even when you guys say Red Light Special beats I Get Lonely, I used to love I Get Lonely.
See what I'm saying?
So that's a hard one for me, but I love both those songs. But I Get Lonely, that was my joint.
But even if the majority was tied, the ones that weren't tied was a clear landslide.
No.
Blackstreet mm-hmm. Deep versus Johnny Gill, My My My. That's a clear landslide.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's something that was a clear landslide.
There was only like maybe three.
Yeah, but then you can say that about Johnny Kim Just Got Paid versus The Whispers Rocksteady. I love The Whispers Rocksteady, but I'll go with Johnny Kim Just Got Paid. Right Here versus Love Should Have Bought You Home. You wouldn't lean towards Right Here with that one? Make It Last Forever by Keith Sweat versus Babyface Soon As I Get Home.
You're Making Me High versus Rum Shaker. How do you even put those against each other? But I would
that's what I'm saying.
Some of those are tied.
I would say Rum Shaker.
Some of those are tied, but the ones that weren't tied, I just give it to Babyface. But let's go to the phone lines, man. A lot of people on the lines. 800. A lot of them was tied, but the ones that weren't, I landed it to Babyface. Well, let's go to the phone lines.
I don't think anybody won.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, Envy. Yay. Show me the guy. What's good? It's Keith from Albany.
Keith, what's up, brother?
Keith from Albany. What's happening?
What's good with y'all, man? I know we talking about the battle, so I want to give my opinion, but something else just happened, man, that I really need help with.
Well, we only got time for one thing, sir.
Oh, man. Well, I'm stuck in my girl bedroom right now because the ex-boyfriend is knocking on the window with rocks.
Oh, my gosh.
We talking about this battle right now, so...
You know, easy call.
It was a landslide. Landslide with Babyface. We already know this.
But hold on, what's going on? So what are you going to do? You're going to just stay there and hide?
She just went to the gym. I'm wondering if I should go out and fight this dude.
It depends how he look. Does he look like he worked out a lot? When's the last time you've been in the gym? When's the last time you've been in a scuffle?
Sir, you are self-quarantining right now?
Couch potato, man. This quarantine got me a little fat right now. He just came home like last year, so he
better go. Tell him you got corona, bro.
Don't do it. Don't do
Just
it.
Tell him you got corona. Tell him you got corona. Start coughing, bro.
Cough on this fool?
Yes, man. Yes. Tell him you
and
got
run.
Corona.
Cough and run. There's no way. He just came home. And you better not mess with him.
Sir, you're laying on the couch. God. You haven't been working out or doing anything, and he just got home.
The window. What kind of Tuesday is this?
I need to know why you think Babyface won in a landslide, though. Landslide? Come on. Why y'all be disrespectful for no reason?
Listen, man, Charlotte, you just got to accept the fate, man. The only person who could beat Baby is Quincy Jones.
No, the only person that could be Babyface is in jail right now for touching girls. That would be a close battle with Babyface, R. Kelly.
There's no way you can look at this list and say this is a landslide. Like, that's just stupid. That's just stupid commentary.
I wouldn't say landslide, but I say Babyface won. But let's go to the phone lines. 800-585-1051. We'll take your call some more. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me. Add your opinions to The Breakfast Club top. Come on. 800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about the battle last night. Babyface versus Teddy Riley. You know, I'm not going to front. It was a great battle. I had a great time last night. But let's go to the phones, see what you guys thought. 800-585-1051. Hello, who's this?
Adrena.
What did you think,
Adrena?
It wasn't a landslide, but Teddy Riley took it.
You think Teddy Riley took it?
Okay, there you go, Teddy Riley. I'm scoring mine right now, so let me see.
Definitely. Babyface had the music that makes you want to have a baby, make love. Teddy Riley had the music that you want to make love, you want to get it in, you want to get up and get jamming, and you want to go back and get it in again.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Teddy can do both. You know what I'm saying? Like, Teddy's the guy. You need both of them, right? Because Teddy got the records that you listen to in the club and on the way home. But then when you get home, you might throw on some Babyface. But you might throw on some Teddy, too. Because you're putting on some Peace of My Love. You're putting on some Let's Chill. You definitely are. You're putting on Make It Last Forever.
Are there any songs you thought should have been played that didn't get played?
Hell yeah.
End of the Road.
Teddy's Jam. The Keith Sweat joint, I'll give all my love to you.
I also heard that they were supposed to do...
You need me, baby.
They were supposed to do 30. Somebody told me they was going to do 30 each. That was going to be like a surprise that they were going to each do 30. I don't know how true that is, so maybe that was something
to do. I don't think Babyface got the patience to sit there for 30 songs with Teddy Riley. This is such a clash of styles. You got a very patient person in Babyface, and you got somebody who clearly has ADD in Teddy Riley. Like, it was such a clash of styles. Like, how do you go to show versus two occasions? Like, you can't score that, man.
That's a tie. Let's go to the phones. Hello, who's this?
Laren.
Hey, Laren.
Hi, Laren.
Did you
watch
the battle
morning,
last night?
Laren.
Did you see the battle?
Yeah.
Who'd you think won?
Babyface by a landslide.
What is this landslide? Now, y'all, even if you think Babyface won, tell me how by a landslide?
I mean, Babyface just had a better mood with the music. Teddy Riley had a nice range, but Babyface's mood was better.
But okay. When y'all say landslide, that means 15 to 5, 18 to 2, yep. 17 to 3.
See, I'm up to I'm trying to do my score right now, and I have so far Teddy 5, Babyface 3 for the first 8. I'm trying to finish it.
All right. Well, thank you, Mama. Hello, who's this?
Hey, what up, dog? It's Ace.
Hey, what's up, bro? Teddy Riley, Babyface. Who you think won that battle last night?
Man, can I first say I was thoroughly entertained, and I'm going to say it was really too close to call. Getting in there, some technology issues, trying to get the hashtag pinned and whatnot. So that was hilarious. But Teddy Riley, he had a lot of songs that I didn't know he produced, like The Show and, you know, a couple other ones. But Babyface, he was in his bag all night with ballads. Yeah, he was a lot funnier than I thought, man. Babyface, he had some comical moments. So it was
very sarcastic. So who would you give it to, brother?
Man, I'm gonna say again, I'm gonna give it to Teddy just because I didn't think he had all that in his bag. Like the Michael Jackson connection was real dope when he came with some stuff. But Babyface, I mean, that, you know, you can't really beat him. So, but I'm gonna say Teddy Riley, me personally.
Okay, thank you, brother. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, it's Kia.
Hey, Kia, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, who do you think won that battle last night? Babyface, Teddy Riley?
Okay, well, first of all, I think we all won just to be able to watch history.
Absolutely.
You get it back.
Absolutely.
Yay. But technically speaking, if I had to choose, I personally like Babyface catalog better. So okay. I would go with Babyface. And his stage is, like, phenomenal.
And see, that's why I say it's a matter of preference. Like, this... I think the battle was too close to call. I don't think anybody necessarily won. I just think it's a matter of preference.
You know what, too? Thank you for calling. It's also age, too. And the reason I say age is because, you know, if your parents weren't playing a lot of these records and you're a little younger, you might not know a lot of the Babyface records. But you definitely know a lot of the Teddy Riley records.
Man, my daddy sniffed mad cocaine to Babyface records. Great. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could, like, that was a different era.
I mean, that was
the Babyface.
That was the cleaning music in my house.
It is. I just did my scorecard, and I have it at 2 of the songs were tied, and I have 9 for Teddy and 9 for Babyface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that scorecard. Billboard had a good scorecard. Billboard had, I don't know how they got 25 songs, though. No, they had more than 25. They had like 13, 10, 2. I'm like, what records are they listening to?
My goodness. All right. Well, 800-585-1051. We're talking this Babyface Teddy Riley competition battle last night. Who do you think won? Call us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Oh, yeah.
It's topic time. Pick up the phone, baby. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Last night was an epic battle, an epic competition. I loved it so much. Babyface and Teddy Riley. And it was just an amazing competition just to hear some of those songs. And I was telling my wife last night when I was watching, I said, it's crazy the people that you grow up listening to and grow up loving that you can actually speak to them. And that's with Teddy Riley. And, you know, I've done so much with Teddy Riley in Virginia. It's just amazing to see both of them. And they were both geniuses last night and the stuff that they created and made, you know.
And see, the thing I don't like about the battle, because I think the battle was too close to call. What I hate is, like, people bringing other antics to judge a battle. I'm talking to my homegirl Kendra last night, Kendra G, and I'm like, Kendra, what do you thought about it? She was like, Babyface won. I said, why? Because Teddy wouldn't keep still, and he would get up doing Babyface's songs, and his sound was messed up, and his Wi-Fi was messed up. What that got to do with the music?
Nothing.
And I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people look at the memes and all of that stuff like that. I'm just talking about strictly music. That battle's too close to call, man.
Yeah, well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
What's happening? This is Avery Washington. How you doing?
What's up, Avery? Talking about battle last night. Who'd you give it to?
Man, I ain't gonna lie to you. After listening to Teddy, I went ahead and downloaded his album, bro.
Okay, so Teddy.
Which one?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Teddy.
Teddy got a bunch of albums.
It got the word guy written in color. I don't remember.
My brother. I'll come through this phone and fight you. You want your Uncle Charlotte to come through this phone and fight you. That's the name of the group.
It's a history lesson, though. It's a history lesson.
How old are you?
Hey, bro, I'm 47.
Oh, you should know that,
47.
Man. Hang up on that,
you're
man.
You're older than me.
Hang up on that, man.
What are you talking about?
47?
Oh, come on, man. It's the one that got the name Guy on the colors in the green.
No.
That's Guy, man.
Goodness gracious.
I think the album was called Guy also, though. Just
yeah.
You should have known it was Guy. That's not Teddy Riley's album, but let's go to another caller. Hello, who's this?
Hazik from Mobile, Alabama.
Hazik, we were talking about this battle last night. Who would you give it to?
I give it to Babyface off the rip.
Why?
Because I'm an R&B cat, man. And Babyface used to help your boy make love.
Teddy, too, though. Teddy got some joints.
You ain't never had Texas Chief Sweat?
He did.
He has his own personal connection.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Hello, who's this?
It's V.
V, what's up, bro? We're talking Babyface Teddy Riley. Who'd you give the win to last night?
I gave the win to Babyface.
Why?
He had the best hit.
So you got him.
I don't see how people can say that with such confidence.
That what?
He got the best hits? Like, just say that so nonchalantly, like Teddy wasn't playing hits?
Now, see, I would say this, right? That, like, both of them are geniuses. It also is in what record you play. Because there's a lot of records that I don't think Teddy should have played. I don't think he should have played the joint with Hov. But
I don't think so either. I don't think he should have played Hov. I don't think he should play Blackstreet Deep.
Blackstreet Deep, no.
Especially against My.
No.
Like, he should have played, instead of Blackstreet Deep, he should have played Don't Leave. Don't leave me, girl.
Yep.
Yeah, for
Please
sure.
Stay with me tonight.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, it's one of those things. They pick their own order on the records they like, you know? So both of them have catalogs. Both of them are just great, and it was just great to see the
Geniuses,
battle. And
man.
I congratulate both Teddy Riley and Babyface for a long career and all, everything that they've done. Could you just imagine those publishing checks that still come in all the time from Teddy Riley's Michael Jackson to everything that Babyface does? That's just amazing.
Can you imagine what type of Babyface is? That's what really shocked me about this whole battle. Babyface is an old sneaky player.
Yes, he is.
Babyface the type to walk up to you in the street and be like, "What's up, young man? How your mama doing?" Knowing damn well you know how my mama doing because you see her every other night.
Yes.
All right, I know your type, Babyface. Babyface is like to keep your mama's refrigerator full of groceries.
I like that. He's very snarky.
Very.
Hey, man.
Hey, little devil, you.
I'm telling you, he'll pull out a straight razor on you, too, now. He's straight switchblade in that burgundy velvet jacket. I'm telling you right now. Babyface, the old player who laughs at your young ass because you was in the club buying some young girl drinks all night, and then he pull up in the caddy at the end of the night, and the young girl jump in with him, and he just looks at you and said, "Tell your parents I said hi, young man," and drives off.
Oh, man, he's a little sneaky one. But it was good. It was definitely, I loved it, man. Well, we got rumors on the way, Yee. What are we talking about?
Yes, let's talk about squashing beef. This person has already squashed some beef, and now he's planning to squash a big one.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Go.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so Timbaland and Swizz, after the amazing battle between Babyface and Teddy Riley, the verses that they had last night, they're getting ready for what they think could be the next big battle, and look at who they called on.
Dr. Dre, I need him to know that we need him and P. Diddy.
We need
that. And I'm saying it, man. Pay-per-view.
We need that.
Pay-per-view for the COVID. Let's bring the two kings in and give back to the people.
Diddy and Dre, what do y'all think?
I would love to see that.
I mean, yeah, it would be entertaining, but I mean, you'd face the same thing that you would face with, like, Teddy and Babyface. Like, it's such a difference in styles. You know what I mean? Like, Dr. Dre don't have the R&B catalog that Diddy has. So what happens when Diddy plays Total Can't You See, but then Dr. Dre plays Gin and Juice? You know what I mean? And but then you got Dr. Dre can go from the NWA. Diddy can go to Uptown, but that's leaning more R&B. Then Diddy got the Death Row, the Aftermath, you know, the 50 Cent, Eminem. Like, it's a lot, but it's just like, I don't know. That's just a weird clash in styles.
Yeah, but it'd be good, though. And I just wonder how they would do it. Is it everything Bad Boy? So does that mean everything under the Bad Boy umbrella, whether he produced it or not, or is it just records he produced? You know, but I would love to see it. If they could figure it out, I would love to see that.
Yeah, and I think it's evenly matched because, you know, I mean, it's well documented that, you know, both of them, they produce by committee. You know, Dr. Dre has a lot of people in the studio with him, whether it's Scott Storch, Mailman, Daz, Diddy has the Hitman, you know?
Right.
So I think that's a good match, but it just seemed like such a clash in styles. Like, I don't know, what are you doing? Diddy plays Faith Evans and then Dre plays Tupac. Like, whoa, that would be kind of wild too.
See, he's still in trouble. See, he just wants to start trouble.
Why would you do that?
I didn't. I just thought about it when I said it.
Well, okay. So also, just so you know, they are going to have a ladies edition of Versus coming soon. So I'm waiting on that because I want to see some women representing. So I hope that'll happen. And it could be a woman against a man. It don't have to be women against women. But I do want to see that. All right. Now,
Mary J. Blige versus anybody. I bet none of y'all Negroes want it with Mary J. Blige. How about
Mariah
that?
Carey. Mariah Carey.
Yo, Mariah cool, but I'm talking about Mary versus any any woman. You got penis or vagina, step up to Mary. I bet you don't got the
Nobody got that catalog.
All right,
Mary, come on now.
Nope. Dwayne Johnson and Issa Rae are going to be executive producing a scripted backyard wrestling series for HBO together. So that could be interesting. It's going to be a half-hour series that centers around the creation of a backyard wrestling league. Sound compelling to you? What? It sounds like it could be funny.
I love Issa, but no.
All right. And Wiz Khalifa, you know, he put out a new EP for Smoke Day, as y'all know, because yesterday was 420. Hope you guys had an amazing 420 yesterday. So he also did a 20-minute DJ set on Weedmaps Higher Together Sessions from Home live streamed event as well. So make sure y'all listen to Wiz's new project.
Okay.
Because nobody better to smoke to than Wiz. And Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez, it looks like they're taking steps to buy the New York Mets. That's really exciting.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so they had emerged as a potential suitor to purchase that team 2 months ago. The Post first reported that, and now it looks like they are taking those steps to make that happen.
Wow. Doesn't J-Lo own a piece of the Dolphins now, her and Mark Anthony? Or am I tripping?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But, you know, that I think that would make a lot of people want to go to the Mets games, too, don't you think?
Well, Mets are doing actually good right now, but,
that's still good marketing. I mean, the MLB in general, you know, been wanting to get their marketing up, so I think that would be amazing for the Mets.
How are the Mets doing good right now, Envy?
Well, they were last year. Because Mets stank it up for the last couple of years.
The team is doing good now.
The team is doing pretty good now. The team has a lot of great players right now, so the team is looking good.
All right, French Montana is planning to squash his beef with 50 Cent. Now, first he talked about squashing his beef with Jim Jones.
It started because of Max B. You know what I'm saying? Max B being my best friend. And when you have a friend like that, you take on their problems. So we was reminiscing on times that we ran down on each other. We was reminiscing on times that, you know, we caught each other slipping. It was just nothing but laughs and a war story.
And then he talked to Speedy Mormon from Complex about potentially him and 50 squashing their beef.
50 Cent going to be in the next Cocaine City. It's happening in about a week or two. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about what the people want to see. Let's break the internet again.
Friends, be honest, though. How much of that stuff was real versus how much of it was you guys just kind of, you know, messing around with each other?
I feel like with me and 50, it was when you go watch a f***ing wrestling match, when you go watch a boxing match, when you go, it's like, it's competition.
Don't you love to see it?
I do. I actually do. The reason I love to see it because all of those guys are violent. And, like, it can lead to violence. I mean... You know what I'm saying? So, and the people around them are violent. So, yes, I do like to see that because that can go either way. And I'd rather see them be peaceful, man. Everybody got time to be beefing? For what?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't look like Ja Rule and 50 Cent will squash their beef anytime soon. Ja Rule was talking to Kenny Burns. And here's what he said about why they can't do a versus battle.
And only really like one was a little bit sideways. But all of the rest of the battles been, yo, I respect. And that's the way Swiss and them want it. Right. So me and this... You know what that's going to be.
I would be tuned in like this.
You can only deal with him one way. And that's the problem. That's why I said it can't be done. Because you got to talk dirty to that. There's no way I can sit across and we can be casual, cordial. Because he won't do it.
Right.
If he would do it, I'm cool.
I don't have a problem with that. First of all, we got to keep reminding people. They fist fought Ja Rule and 50 Cent. There was a stabbing.
There was a shooting.
They're never going to like each other. And they stop trying to make them like each other. This isn't just some typical Instagram beef. These guys shot each other, stabbed each other, fought each other. It's on for life with them. Okay?
Just be happy they're not. That battle, though. I would love to see them go back and forth on that battle, though. It would be entertaining so much, though. I ain't going for it.
Just be happy they're not fighting each other on site. They was on a plane. A couple years ago, nothing happened. Just be happy they're not jumping on each other. Be happy it's just about memes and laughs right now.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
I would love to see them go back and forth on IG, though, just for one good time, just record for record.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
Just go back and the talk.
It's too personal. It's too personal. It's nice to see Babyface and Teddy, who get along with each other, clearly respect each other. I don't think that would go well.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. They tried to kill each other. Come on, man.
But they can't kill each other through the phone. They just got, you know, just be
talking. It don't matter. It's too personal.
We're not doing this for your entertainment. We're not doing this for your entertainment, man.
All right. Well, who are you giving that donkey to, Charlamagne?
We need George Stephanopoulos from Good Morning America to come to the front of the conversation. We'd like to have a word with him. He's very socially irresponsible, and he's exactly what a bunch of us dread and fear during this COVID-19 global pandemic. We'll talk about it.
All right. We'll get to that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line right now, Michael Rubin. Welcome back, sir.
Good to be here. I'd rather see you in person, but good to see everybody on Zoom.
The only thing that benefits The Breakfast Club of being on quarantine is, you know, we don't have to wear Philly 76ers gear once a week
Nobody
into the
said
season's
you
over.
Nobody said you didn't have to.
I don't have any more. I have none at the house.
Right, I saw you, and I thought right away you were violating the spirit of our agreement. You should be in Sixers merchandise every day. I noticed right away. I was giving you a pass because of the very unusual at times, but I feel taken advantage of, and I expect you guys to be in Sixers merch every day, including you, Angela.
I wasn't there when you guys made that deal.
Oh, now you weren't there. We're a team.
Teams stick together. So you know, if your team makes a decision, you got to be with them for better or worse times. And you know, you're going to look phenomenal in Sixers gear. That is not true.
I saw the last dance last night. Scottie Pippen was ready to go. God damn it! Okay, he wasn't getting paid what he was supposed to.
Did you see that last night, Michael Rubin?
I didn't watch. I'm gonna watch today during my workout. I'm excited to watch. I heard it was spectacular. Everyone was texting me about it. So was it awesome?
You hate other teams that much that you can't even watch something in historical context, Michael?
I'm gonna watch it today as soon as I go do my workout. I was working on the All In Challenge last night. Calling people, pushing like crazy, which I've been doing 20 hours a day. So,
all right, good point.
I saw you on CNN yesterday with Kevin Hart talking about the All In Challenge.
Yeah, well, you go with Kevin, everything always goes smooth. I called Kevin and said, Kevin, I've got this idea. I want to do this All In Challenge where we challenge every athlete, every celebrity, every artist to go all in with some incredible item or some incredible experience and have all these items and experiences auctioned off and have all the money go to different charities around. You know, feeding people, and called Kevin, called Meek. They were my two first phone calls, and Meek said, I love this. I'm donating my Rolls Royce Phantom. I was like, well, that's pretty cool. And then Kevin said he's going to make somebody a movie star. So without those two first phone calls, it probably wouldn't be an all-in challenge.
I see that Rolls Royce Phantom current bid is at $320,000 so far for the all-in challenge. And I see the number one so far right now is for $775,000, and that is for a game jersey and dinner with Tom Brady and a Tampa Bay home opener. That's a huge deal.
It is. And the great thing about what we did with this is the original idea was to get each artist, a celebrity or athlete to take an incredible item or an incredible experience and us auction off. Then we said the problem with that is we want to get the whole world participating in this. So then we created these sweepstakes where people could just donate as little as $10 or $25 for the chance to win an incredible experience. So Kevin Hart's movie is an example. You donate $10 or $25 for the chance to be in his next movie. You know, everyone, we have millions of people donating $10 or $25 if they can afford to do that.
What was the most surprising thing you've seen somebody give away so far?
I'd say the most surprising call, honestly, and they were my first two calls. My most surprising call was me, because my original idea was to do it only with athletes. When I called Meek 10 minutes after the idea popped in my head and said, hey, what do you think about this idea of doing it with athletes? He said, yeah, but why wouldn't you do it with artists and celebrities? You'd be so much bigger.
Right.
And I said, it's a good idea. He said, okay, well, I'm gonna go on. I said, great. And I thought he said, like, I'm going to donate a watch or I'm going to go to someone's house and do a concert. He said, you know what? I bought this Rolls Royce Phantom 2 years ago. I'm like, I don't feel like it's appropriate to have it anymore. Like, I'd rather help feed kids with it. That was probably the most surprising. I think having Tom Brady having a $775,000 bid, it shows how much people want to help. It was incredibly valuable, the jersey and his shoes from his first game in Tampa Bay, and to go to dinner and work out with him afterward. It's great to see so many people say they want to help make a difference.
Right.
I don't know if you guys saw, Yo Gotti came up with his tour bus.
That was dope.
Yeah.
So there's been some pretty incredible things people have done. And I know people, a lot of people call me to say, here's what I'm doing. What do you think? There's so many amazing things that have already come and so many amazing things more to come. We've already had, like, I think 160 people 6 days into this have already gone all in. And these are, you know, generally A-list, you know, celebrities and art athletes. So it's been incredible so far, but I think we're maybe 10% of the way into it so far.
And where's this money going? Because I saw Kevin put $1 million, like yesterday when y'all was on CNN, Kevin was like, look, I got $1 million on top of what I already gave. Where is this money going exactly?
Yeah, it's going to the four leading kind of. So first of all, the thought process here was there's so many people that are going hungry from this pandemic, whether it's, you know, kids used to go to school and count on that meal at school, and now they don't have that meal, whether it's the elderly that were counting on meals being dropped off, or to be honest, the tens of millions of people that have recently become unemployed. So 100% of the money received is all going to different food organizations, organizations like World Central Kitchen, Feeding America, No Kids Free. So it's the four leading food organizations.
Gotcha. I see you raised over $13 million so far. So that's a pretty amazing thing in just a few days to have raised. Do you have a goal, or is it just, okay, when everything's auctioned off, that's it?
Yeah, so no, we have a bold goal. So we were trying to not let the goal get out, but we sent the deck out to people telling them as they were kind of, as we were getting people excited about going all in. The goal we put on our deck was $100 million. The largest digital fundraiser ever was $58 million. So our goal is to raise $100 million, and I want to meet or exceed that goal. You know, for me, the great thing is here, you know, you really have the best actors, artists, and athletes in the world coming together to help to feed people. And to me, that's exciting because, like, we're all kind of joining together.
Now, I wanted to ask a question. We talked about the Michael Jordan, The Last Dance documentary, and one of the things that everybody's talking about was Scottie Pippen. And the fact that he signed a low deal, and of course his worth went up. If you guys did a deal with a player like that, and you knew that his worth was up, do you think it would be smart to renegotiate early because you want that player to feel happy and you want him to be happy where he's playing, or is it one of those things? Hey, you signed a contract, you are on your own.
At the end of the day, if you want to have the incredible talent, you probably can't pay everyone the maximum that they're worth. So it's really a question of, do you have people that say, "Hey, I'm more interested in winning championships that I'm maximizing my contract." And everyone's different, by the way. Some players are going to say, hey, look, I really care about the money and I want to maximize that. And they're right for feeling that way. And other people say, hey, you know what? I care more about collecting rings. I'd say it's like, think about, as an example, Patrick Mahomes. You know what he made this past season?
How much?
Less than $1 million.
Okay? Wow. That's not a good example, though, Michael. He's only on his second year.
Here's my point. When he gets his $30 million plus contract per year, the rest of the team's going to have less money to spend. And that's my point. At the end of the day, you still have a cap. So one of the real advantages is if you can get an incredible rookie who makes a huge difference under a rookie deal, that's helping to make the rest of the team better. But it's, you know, I think it will be difficult for the Chiefs to be as good when you have Patrick that's currently making $1 million, making $30 million plus a year. And that was my point.
All right, we got more with Michael Rubin. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Michael Rubin. Yee.
So, Michael, what would you like to see happen for the rest of the NBA season as people are trying to figure out, where are we going next? Are we going to delay this? Are we going to come back? Are we going to play without an audience? What do you think should happen?
Everyone is like, look, this world needs sports back as soon as possible. The country needs sports back as soon as possible, but you just can't do it until you can do it in a way that's safe for the players and their families, and also do it in a way that's safe for fans. So I do think, if I had to give you my prediction, I think sports will come back without fans before they come back with fans. I think that's a good thing because I think we're all watching, you know, games from 10 years ago, and we're excited to watch these games. So we're all craving for sports in our life. So I don't think it's realistic. I think right now it's going to be difficult until there's a vaccine to kind of go back to status quo. I can tell you one interesting little stat. So I looked yesterday. So Fanatics started selling licensed masks in the NBA only, with all the proceeds going to charity on Friday. The amount of people buying these masks, we've had 80,000 people buy masks in 3 days. Wow. So I think the new norm between now and when the vaccine comes is half the country, three-quarters of the country is going to be walking around with a mask outside. And so I don't think things are getting back to normal until you have a vaccine. And I think that we need sports in our life. So you've got to find a way to get sports back as quickly as you can do it in a safe way. But I think you're trying to tie it to needing to have fans there would make it take longer to get sports back.
Michael, what about players? Because I saw C.J. McCollum say that players, like you said, like a large majority of the NBA is living check to check. What would y'all do for players if players were having financial problems?
Yeah, so first, I got to tell you, it's a very mixed issue for how players feel. I mean, you hear players in all sports, except basketball side right now, you hear players in all sports have a very divided opinion of what they want to do. I mean, I've talked to stars in the NFL, stars in each of the different leagues, and some people are like, hey, look, I'm anxious, I'm going to get back right away, and others are just like, I don't want to leave my family. And so that's a little bit of a complicated issue to start with, because you'd want it to be something where there is a lot of unity, and there's not today. As it relates to players, look, you know, because of my ownership in the Sixers, the league is always, you know, it's best for the league to speak about anything between what's happening with the league and the players association.
Gotcha.
And I just want to talk about what Drake is giving away, by the way, for the All-In Challenge. Let's discuss that, because that is like a really amazing prize to be able to do all of those things. So can you break that down, what Drake is offering?
Yeah, Drake's is amazing. So Drake's plane, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen videos of his plane. I've seen a lot of nice planes. His plane is pretty spectacular. He's got a 767 that's outfitted in the coolest of ways. And Drake is going to have people. He's going to basically have his plane bring you to California, to L.A., to party with him for the weekend. So you're going to get to go on air Drake. You're going to get to party with him for the weekend. And he's been great about this. As soon as I told him the idea, he's like, I love this. I want to help people. Let me come up with something crazy.
That's dope.
Well, Mike, I love everything you're doing with the All-In Challenge. Yes. I've been seeing you on different outlets, saw you on CNN, MSNBC. I'm looking at you now, and it's one thing bothering me. There's something behind you that says Pancake learned the alphabet. What the hell is that?
Okay, so that's very good awareness. My girlfriend is going to be thrilled that you actually picked that up. She's telling me it's in the videos. So first, my friends, I have a group of friends that we all banter with each other. So everyone always calls me Pancake because I'm weighing like 200 pounds versus 170 I should. So I've been nicknamed Pancake just as people making fun of me for being out of shape and pudgy these days. And the true story, and I actually did this once on Instagram. People thought I was drunk and messed up in the head, which I was not at the time, at least. I literally never learned the alphabet. Like, I knew it as a kid, and then I forgot, and I can't do the alphabet. So the big joke that goes around, so when people ask me to do the alphabet, I get to, like, the middle of it, and then I just don't know the rest of it.
What do you mean? Let's try this now.
Pancake, you're telling me that you're a fucking billionaire who doesn't know the alphabet?
Let's try this now.
Hold on. Swear on everything I have, I cannot get through the alphabet, and I will do it for you just to demonstrate that anything's possible, and you can be as I am, still be successful.
All right, let's do it. Go.
I'm gonna do it in sign language while you do it.
A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P O Q R S T.
Oh my God, he's right.
And so I basically, my girlfriend made me fall, making fun of me. And I'm also trying to teach the alphabet. Of course, I thought it was cute and I set it up there, but I've never actually studied the book, and I'm refusing to learn it now because I think it's a great message that you can actually not know the alphabet, which I truly don't. I did this on Instagram, like when I first went on, my friends were like, sing the alphabet. Everyone always makes fun of me because everyone knows I don't know the alphabet. And I'm like, I don't need to learn the new alphabet. You know, and I put my mind into
it's
doing
it. It's not a new alphabet.
It's not the new alphabet.
Yes.
It's not a new alphabet. It's been around.
Yeah, it's not like, I mean, listen.
Year-old kid, I was working, and I was like, I was, you know, selling stuff and working in my ski shops, and I just like, I got caught up with business, and, you know, I kind of left that part of my life. But I actually think there's a good message there, because you know what? If I can literally barely make it out of high school, I didn't go to college, I really don't know the alphabet, and there's so many things about my brain that are so screwed up. But hey, you know, we can come up with an idea like the All-In Challenge just started, and you got to use your strengths and what you're good at, and then put aside what you're bad at and just build a team around you. That's the way I've built my whole life.
Your nickname is Pancake?
He just explained it.
I mean, I have a couple friends. By the way, one of the guys I started the All-In Challenge with, so one of my best friends is Alan Tisch, and he's actually a person who named me Pancake. We were in Vegas one weekend, and I like maybe had a few too many drinks, and I passed out with my pale self, and they looked at me and they said I looked like a big pancake. And that's why I got named Pancake. And and now everyone likes it. So it's the pancake thing's gone pretty far.
Michael, from now on, when I see you with rappers, that's your nickname, Pancake. Whenever I see you with Meek Mill, Jay-Z, I'm going to say, there go Pancake.
No, you're not.
That's your nickname.
You can pour some syrup on him.
Pancakes definitely the top five that I respond to.
My goodness.
Okay.
Well, Michael, we appreciate you for checking in, and thank you for all that you're doing, bro. We really appreciate you.
We do. We really
thank you, Pancake.
I look forward to being back in the studio with you as soon as we can. Hopefully it's sooner than we're all thinking, but I can't wait till we can all be together again.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. It's Michael Rubin. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, R. Kelly is trying to get out of jail during coronavirus. And at first, prosecutors have said that he has the means to escape the country. He's already made more than $200,000 in royalties just this year. But his lawyers are arguing that he owes almost $2 million to the IRS, so he has no flight risk at all. Now, he does fall into the vulnerable group to contract COVID-19 while behind bars. So according to his lawyers, things have gotten exponentially worse. As a matter of fact, just an hour ago, Bassett put up an exclusive saying that an inmate tested positive on R. Kelly's jail floor. And right now the facility is in the grips of a serious outbreak. What do y'all think?
I think that what R. Kelly has to be looked at as a violent sexual predator.
I agree. Some people shouldn't. If you're a murderer, violent, and if you're a pedophile. Yeah, you got to sit.
Yeah, good luck. I can't.
You think he's a flight risk also?
Nah, I don't think he's a flight risk because I don't think he has the money to be a flight risk. But I'm just saying, it's like, yo, at the end of the day, you're an inmate. And it's a lot of other inmates who are in there for nonviolent, petty offenses. They should be let go.
Absolutely.
Not R. Kelly. R. Kelly's in the back of the line.
Nonviolent, non-sexual offenders. So I don't know if he fits that bill at all. He definitely doesn't, clearly. All right, Mark Wahlberg has hinted at another collaboration with Jordan Brand. He said there may be something else in the pipeline. So he showed off his own Air Jordan 4 Wahlberg sneakers. They first were made in 2018. They were never sold in stores. He said he only has two pairs left. I wonder how much that's worth.
Last time I checked, they were like $12,000, if I believe. But I'm glad me and Mark are pretty cool right now. So, Mark, if you're listening, I'm a size 10.
Yeah, two pairs left.
It's size 10.
I would think that a lot of Jordans will appreciate in value because of this documentary over the next 5 weeks, right? I would think the stock on Jordans would shoot up, don't you think?
Yeah, the only bad thing about Jordans, yes, they will, is a lot of the old ones, they fall apart. They turn yellow. So it with those sneakers, if you hold them for a long time, it's not like basketball cards or jerseys. It's not worth it. Either you wear them or you sell them fast because they will definitely.
And they said you can't keep them in the cardboard box, right? Didn't they say?
Yeah, you can't keep them in the cardboard box. That yellow that they have, that turns it yellow. So it's difficult.
All right, now let's discuss TV during this quarantine. So it looks like they're trying to plan a Bachelor in Quarantine spinoff. You know, right now they have either canceled or postponed the Bachelor shows because of coronavirus. But now executives are throwing around the title Bachelor in Quarantine, and they're trying to adapt to the times. And so what would that look like? They said it wouldn't be as simple as just retooling things. They've played around with a few different things, like getting some of the cast members in Mexico to film in isolation, like 20 cast members. The problem is that you can't have the crew out there. So right now what they're trying to figure out is people shooting their own content at home if they can't physically be together. So I don't know what those dates would look like. But what I do know is that TLC is planning a show just like that. It's called Find Love Live. It's a new show that they said is going to be on their late night lineup. And it's going to help single people find their future partner from the comfort of their couch. It was scheduled to start earlier this month. And now they're saying it's going to be a remote production starting in May 10th.
Okay.
They're going to get this. They get this TV money right now. So, all right. And VH1 is launching their new series, To Catch a Beautician, with Tamar Braxton and Johnny Wright. So they just revealed that's going to premiere Monday, May 25th on VH1 with back-to-back episodes. And Johnny Wright is Michelle Obama's former hairstylist. He'll be on the show with her also. And it's a 20-episode series. They're going to come to the rescue of clients whose hair has been botched by a beautician from their past. I'll watch that. I don't know if you guys will, but that sounds interesting to me. Now, Drake, that Tootsie Slide is still going, and that dance challenge. I don't know if y'all saw the video of the Masaka kids. They're orphans from Uganda. Yep.
Absolutely. That was fire.
The dancers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They killed it.
And they posted their own rendition. And then Drake actually shared it on his Instagram story. And it blew up in that manner also. The kids' rendition already was gaining traction on TikTok, on Twitter, and IG. Drake noticed it, reached out, asked if he could post it on his page. And then he did. And the kids were crying tears of joy at that gesture afterward, and they spent the next day celebrating and all of that. And they said a lot of people have reached out trying to figure out how they can donate clothes, donate other items. They've gotten hundreds of dollars in donations, and they've also gained more than 120,000 Instagram followers. So that's a dope thing.
That is dope.
All right. And Steven Jackson on his All the Smoke podcast tells a story about leaving his ex-fiance at the altar on the day of their wedding. So he's talking about everything that happened, and it has to do with prenups. Now, just to put it into perspective, he wanted to actually have his pastor do the wedding, but she wanted to have the one that she chose. And he had been trying to get her to sign this prenup. She kept saying she would. She kept putting it off. And then here's what happened.
My nanny come back in there with a spook look on her face like, she still ain't signed it. I'm like, well, I ain't getting married then. She was like, ho. And so look, so the preacher says, hold on. Don't make a drastic decision. I think you should just let God handle it. Me, as a pastor, I don't believe in prenups. Nah, I know why she was fighting for you. You don't believe in prenups. I ain't getting married. As that's going on, Steph Marbury grows crazy. Hell nah. Mike Bibby walks, are you serious, Steve? Out of here. So, wedding off.
Wow. First of all, salute to Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. I love All the Smoke podcast. One of my favorite podcasts to listen to right now. Well, yeah, I feel Steven. You got to go with your gut. You got to go with your instinct. I feel like that business should have been handled way before they got to that point. But if he was trying to handle it and she didn't want to handle it and she waited until they got to that point and he had a feeling in his stomach that something wasn't right, I can't be mad at him for that.
Yeah, she should have had her lawyer look at it, because a prenup is a contract. You can agree to whatever you want, and she could have, you know, marked it up however she wanted. They could have negotiated before it happened, and then it would have been smooth, but didn't work out. And I can't fault him for that either, because if she would have said from the beginning, I'm not signing that, they could have had that conversation.
I got to go listen to that podcast, because I would like to know how he feels about her now. Mm. Like, does he still love her? Does she still love him? Like, I would love to know what happened after that situation.
All right, and Travis Scott is headlining a Fortnite concert. It's going to take place across several days this week. It's going to be all over the world, kicking off in the Americas on April 23rd. There's so many people on Fortnite who are also fans of Travis Scott, so makes sense. He'll also be debuting a brand new song. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, shout out to Revolt. Revolt, we are back on television, so shout out to you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. Get your request in. Let me know what you want to hear. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line. I got a call a couple of days ago about a brother who's a doctor out in Florida and wanted to talk about some of the things that was going on. So shout to Donovan, who used to cut my hair back in the day. He put me on the line with him, and we have the brother on the phone lines right now. Dr. Ashby. Good morning, Dr. Bernard Ashby. How's it going, brother?
Good morning.
How y'all doing? Thanks for having me.
Peace, King.
Now, you ain't even want to talk because you got a mask on while you talking to us through Zoom, man.
So basically, the reason why I have the mask on is basically I'm trying to promote Mike Matthew. So a couple of my friends and myself have the mask on challenge. Essentially, we're just trying to encourage people to wear masks. We want to normalize it. So one of the asks that I have from all of you guys is to try to wear your mask, sometimes online, possibly. But basically, it's another opportunity to promote different brands, Black businesses, but also teach the community to wear their masks, because we're actually shifting from the lockdown phase to normalization. And one of the parts of normalization is wearing everyday masks, especially if you're in any closed spaces.
Yo, I just told my homegirl that, because we was texting back and forth. That is going to be the new normal. I don't care how much you believe in God, all right? You still got to protect yourself.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of businesses that won't even let you come inside without a mask on. So I think that is a good policy right now to enforce as well.
Yeah, and it's best to look at other countries. I mean, a lot of the countries that have been successful with this virus, or who have experienced similar viruses in the past, have worn masks. And there's quite a few studies, one in particular that shows mask use decreases the spread of the virus by 70%. And with the disproportionate impact of the virus in our communities, we need to take every precaution to decrease the spread of the virus. And masks are just one example of doing that. And it's easy to do. And the mask does decrease you receiving the infection, does decrease the spread of small, of big droplets, the smaller aerosol droplets, not so much. And that's what you need the N95 for. But those are really needed for folks like us who are in the medical industry when we're taking care of COVID patients. Envy, I see you. Mm-hmm. I see you. So you got the
N95. I wanted to ask about that. Now, I understand that we got to protect you guys, right? But now, when we go into Trader Joe's or Stop and Shop or BJ's or Costco, and, you know, there's been cases where people in those places have contracted COVID-19. So am I not supposed to wear one that I know will protect me and wear something that might not protect me? Because, you know, like so what do you tell those people? Because people in those places have coronavirus.
Well, listen, man. You know, do what you need to do to protect yourself and your family. That's what I tell people. Now, you know, the hospital, you know, they need to do their job and protect us. That's their job. That's not your job. So if you can get your hands on N95 masks, by all means, do that. And let the hospitals and the big businesses worry about that, because, you know, they fumble the ball and they need to figure that out. And honestly, you know, we're actually getting access to a lot more PPE, but that's not your problem.
Where should we wear the mask? Because I saw you had... You had yours on just now in the building. Like, do you take them off when you get in the building, or when do you wear just outside?
Anytime you're in the building, you should have your mask on. And anytime you're going to be in close proximity with somebody, meaning less than 6 feet, you should definitely have a mask on.
Now, can you reuse these masks? I know a lot of people say, some people say you can reuse them, and some people say you can't. Can you reuse the masks?
Yeah, here's the issue. Now, like, basically, those masks are not supposed to be reusable, okay? They're supposed to be really one-time use, or, you know, one scenario use, and you're supposed to dispose of it, because the virus particles can get on the mask and actually contaminate it. And so a big reason why folks are not really getting the benefit of the mask is that they then take the mask off, touch the virus, and then, you know, touch other things and still end up with the virus. So essentially, the N95 masks are really supposed to be used when you're taking care of sick patients and you have a gown, gloves on, and then you take everything off and then you kind of throw it away. And I just want to give a particular dedication time to glove wearing. There's a lot of people out there wearing gloves. Not a good idea, because
really
help spread the virus. And you know, a lot of folks, you know, they have their gloves on and they're doing things like using their phone and whatnot. And actually, the gloves spread the virus more efficiently than your hands do. The virus actually sticks to your hands better. And so if you actually, you know, just wash your hands frequently, that's a better way of avoiding the virus than wearing gloves. The only time you should be wearing gloves is if you're taking care of somebody with the virus or doing something specific, like, you know, making food. But use a glove, take them off, clean your hands.
Right. I'm glad you said that, because we've been using gloves to open packages. I put on gloves, like, I'm going to the ATM machine today, I'm wearing gloves. Like, yeah. You say that's not a good idea.
No, not a good idea. It's better just to keep your hands clean. So have your Purell on Tizek, all right?
Uh-huh.
And y'all can swag these things out as well. And you can make your own Purell at home with some aloe vera and some alcohol. So, you know, we got to be, you know, we got to use continuity here. And this is what I'm trying to communicate to our community, man. Like one of the things that I've really noticed is that our government, our leadership has failed us. And it's our time to step up and really look out for each other. So now I'm really trying to use this platform to promote the village mentality.
What have you been seeing out in emergency rooms in Florida? How bad has it been? How are people surviving? And what can people do to make sure that their immune system is strong enough to fight this disease?
Yeah, thank you. So Florida's getting hit. Florida is expected to peak sometime in early May. So it's happening here. And as you, I know, as everyone saw, our governor, our leadership, let everybody do their thing during spring break and, you know, still go to the clubs and whatnot when the virus is here. And the virus is here way back since Super Bowl. You know how many people were here for the Super Bowl. So that's a whole other issue. But the point is that, you know, Florida did not do such a good job, and that's what we're dealing with now. In terms of what you can do to protect yourself and improve your immunity, I mean, nothing replaces good lifestyle. And that's a tough thing to ask somebody who's working 9-to-5, check to check, you know, raising families. It's easy to preach to people and tell them, you know, do better. But, you know, anytime you, you know, move your body, you know, exercise is incredibly important. And watch what you eat, but preserved foods, sugars, carbs, all that stuff, you want to minimize and eat more fruits and vegetables. And I just kind of keep it there.
Well, Dr. Ashby, I got to push back on you a little bit, because you know that the craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. So you talking, you asking Florida to use logic and common sense. Florida, Dr. Ashby, come on, my brother. You know better than right. that.
So speaking of Florida, let me rock my gator mask.
you look like you're ready to get profiled.
Oh, Lord. Yo, and that's a real thing, man. And shout out to my boy from Philly, DeMarco. He basically, like, when I was promoting the whole mask use, he was like, listen, man, you about to get people shot. Because, you know, like, if they see a black brother rocking one of these masks, like, people are going to, you know, feel a certain way and want to actually, you know, do something to them. And that's an example of structural racism, right? That's something that I would never have to consider for my normal, everyday patients who are living in, you know, senior citizen communities. But when I'm talking to, you know, young black men, black and brown men, they got to worry about things like racial profiling. And if they wear a mask, people get scared. And so that's a real thing. But at the end of the day, like, I had to choose the public health concerns over the, you know, the racism of our country. But that's a real thing.
Well, Doc, we appreciate where do you, man.
Yeah, and where do you buy the mask from, Doc? Shout out to your girl. What's the website for those masks you're showing?
Man. So Body by Val, you know, you follow on Instagram. You know, she works with Flo Rida and did some work with FUBU. But, you know, she's given out a lot of these to a lot of doctors, myself included. And she just kind of hooked me up.
All right. Well, doctor, thank you for checking in. Appreciate it, man. And be safe out there, Doc.
Yes. I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Bernard Ashby.
All right, well, shout out to Dr. Ashby for joining us. If you want to see the full interview, you can just hit up our YouTube page. All right, when we come back, we have the positive note, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Yeah. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Shout out to Michael Rubin for joining us this morning. Also, Dr. Ashby for stopping through and just telling us what's going on in Florida and what we should be doing now, too.
I wanted to offer, we could have somebody come and be a guest host on the Breakfast Club for their auction, but I was like, no one might not bid on that, so.
Yeah, people would have bid on that, definitely. I remember. I said that about a week ago. We should do somebody co-host on the Breakfast Club. I thought that would have been dope.
I feel bad though if no one bids on it. We got to do like the $10 one.
You know what? Salute to Dr. Ashby. I actually posted a bunch of young black doctors, not just doctors, but people in the healthcare workers, they all did the mask on challenge.
Right.
And my homegirl Amber, salute to Amber, South Carolina's own. She's she's studying to be a psychiatrist, and she sent it to me, and I just realized Dr. Ashby started this challenge, the mask on challenge.
He's trying to normalize people wearing face masks.
Yeah, I thought you knew that.
I did not know. I posted it because my homegirl Amber sent it to me. Salute to the homie Amber. But Amber and Dr. Ashby and it's a bunch. Dr. Ebony, Dr. Julia Carter. It's a bunch of them. It's just all black healthcare. Yeah, healthcare workers. And they all doing the mask on challenge. So salute to them. They're just trying to, and I think they said they're standing together to end the disparity. That's what they're doing. Yeah, gotcha. So it's a mask on campaign. It's an attempt to help reach the younger generation to build awareness and show solidarity in our community by wearing the mask. So salute to all the black healthcare workers participating in that.
All right. All right, well, you got a positive note for us?
Absolutely, man. I with this quarantine, this self-isolation is probably, you know, showing you how peaceful your life is when you don't have to be around certain people, places, or things. So I just want to tell you a quote from Albert Einstein. Stay away from negative people. They have a problem for every solution.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and in the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello!
acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.